Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This Aspire radio program, what we like to call Satsang, is for June the 9th, 2018. We're going to be looking at depression. It is a very big mental condition, and it is characterized by feelings of severe despondency and dejection, according to the dictionary. And we're going to look at it and see what it might be, how it might affect you, and maybe what you can do about it if you're a wise person, which I'm sure you are. These radio programs, as you know, are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. It is only through your sponsorship that we are allowed to continue here offering you these, I hope that they are blessings to you. I really do. And I want to thank my sponsors who make all this possible. Without them, you would not be listening to me. I want to thank them for their generosity and their kindness. It's very, very important, I think, to humankind. At least that's what I'm getting from the emails I get. So I just want you to know how grateful I am, how thankful I am. Okay. And I hope that some of you who are listening will choose to become sponsors and help us sustain our radio program. If it's helped you, it's important for you to reciprocate by helping back. It really is. Your gifts go much further than you would ever imagine in serving humankind, including not only these radio programs and our TV programs, but hospice and all the other things I do to help those who, they like to say a little less fortunate, but those who are obviously in depression. Let's talk a little bit about depression. What is it? According to the dictionary, it is feelings of severe despondency and rejection. And basically, it is a condition, as I said a little earlier, that has to do with despondency. Sometimes feelings of inadequacy and guilt are accompanied by a lack of energy and a disruptance of appetite and sleep. Well, I see it in much bigger terms because a lot of the people that I have worked with over my 40-some-five years of being a meditation teacher has had to do with depression. A lot of these people were sorely depressed, and it was not a pleasant experience for them, not at all. And some of them really... went over the top with the depression. They had great feelings of guilt and shame, and some of them were able to conquer it. So let's go into it. The first question comes from Tom in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been depressed, Greg, for years. I listen to you almost every day, and you seem to help me. Can meditation help me further, Tom? Tom, meditation is not a cure-all, okay? You need to understand that. My answer to your question is yes and maybe and no, okay? Meditation is the application of a practice in our lives that we build our whole life around. It is not something we do to avoid something we don't want. It is the application of practicing our original nature, our authentic nature. And in that authentic nature, there is many beautiful things. But those beautiful things can never be apparent to us if we are not working upon ourselves, if we are not diligent about ourselves, if we are not working upon our practice. You have to make your whole life a meditation. What you derive out of meditation is what you put into your life. So if you were to go into the beauty of meditation, it would mean that you would have to drop everything that doesn't support your meditations, which means you would have to watch your emotionality and not allow it to formulate patterns of guilt and shame. And to do that, you would have to adhere to a practice. You would have to be very diligent in your practice, devoted, disciplined. You would have to back off your emotions through gratification. That would be one of the first things you would have to do. And if you don't see your thoughts and your emotional nature as forms of indulgence that come from childhood as well as from our genetic nature, and a lot of it does have to do with our genetics, if you don't see your emotionality as something that is actually a part of your body and how your body was put together via your mother and father through DNA and genetics, you're not going to be able to deal with anything, much less your depression. This depression is a real difficulty in people because they can't get their finger on it. If they can't see it for what it is, they can't nab it and see how it's working inside of them, then they don't mature and grow, and they just keep going and going and going in this, and it never stops. So the form of meditation that would help you would probably be, in the beginning, catharsis. I have lots of catharsis meditations on the website at aspire.org. Go look at meditations and you will see catharsis. You can download them if you wish. You can work on yourself. You can start to let your anger and your fear and your pride go. This is usually a deep-seated genetic feeling of guilt and shame. I do agree with the dictionary definition of sometimes what brings this on, the severity of it. But I need to be really honest with you, Tom. This will probably never, ever totally go away. At best, you can keep it at bay, and that would be good. You could keep it from ruling your life and taking over your living like weeds in a garden. But the potential for the weeds will always be there. I think a lot of us in this world don't understand that meditation is not here to help you relax and feel better about your humanness. It is about transcendence. It is about transcending the human. You have one of two opportunities in this life. You either succumb to your human nature, or you transcend it through spirituality, through an authentic spiritual practice. That's it. There are no other ways. You can learn to cope with your depression, and I know a lot of people that do. They get involved in obsessive things, and you can make anything obsessive. You can make art obsessive. You can make religion obsessive. You can make science obsessive. You can make anything that you want obsessive. Usually in the United States, it is food and entertainment that becomes our obsessions. And we feel that deep impulse for relieving ourselves most of the time from the things that basically make us depressed. And usually those things are genetics, and you can't cure that, except you could go take pills. And if you want to go that route, of course, there's always that route, but some people need them. They do. Some people can't do what I'm talking about, and they have to be on medication all the time. It's a fact of life. I don't put that down. I really don't. I don't like it because it makes a person feel like they're only as good as the last pill they had. But you know what? If it helps and you can get through a day and use your day well, use your day wisely, then it helped. But if not, if you are taking medication, you're going to need to practice meditation. And who knows where it will lead from there? I don't know. But the one thing, Tom, I don't want you to think is that meditation is some sort of cure-all for your problem. It all depends on how you apply meditation in your life, how devoted you are, how dedicated you are. And to do that, you're going to have to wonder, like, why am I doing this? You're doing it to explore beyond your depression, your state of mind. You're looking at depression as a sidelight here. The thing that is most important, now listen to me and I'll leave you alone. You're here to liberate yourself from the confines of your body and your mind, and liberate yourself while living in the body, but not as the body. And that is a very important thing to be able to achieve in the course of a lifetime. I hope that helps you, Tom. I do. My heart pours out to you. Counseling would be another good thing you would probably need to do. It's got to be a total package, Tom. You can't just go, well, I'll meditate when I feel like it and if I can. I've had a lot of people who were very depressed and they only meditated when they felt like it, and that meant hardly ever. So, and they need counseling, and you need to talk to someone about your practice, because you're entering into a practice, not a therapy. It isn't a therapy. It is a practice. But it looks like a therapy. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a tough one to talk about with people. It really is. A lot of people just don't get it. All right. Here's the next one from Tracy. Are you saying that depression can be helped at all? In your discourses that I listen to on TV and your radio, it sounds to me like some of us could be helped. Tracy. Tracy, I'm going to be dead again honest with you. Women have the most difficult time with depression. Men have, I should really rephrase it. Men have a deep difficulty with depression, but women borderline on making it impossible. They are so emotional, and they live purely off their passion and emotion. And it is as though, well, they are hardwired into their emotionality. And so, Tracy, if you're thinking inside of yourself, can this help me? You'd have to be willing to sacrifice, as I said to Tom, your emotional patterns. You couldn't get high and you couldn't get low. You couldn't allow yourself to fall into depression because of indifference and really not caring enough to get up in the morning, meditate, and do it in the afternoon, and cathart and get your emotional pain out. You would really have to be devoted. I hate to say this, but most of the women that I have worked with in the past who have been as depressed as you allude to here, just couldn't do it. They wouldn't give up their emotionality. They just won't. It's as though you're asking them to remove a breast or something. It is just very difficult. This question can only be answered by you. Only by you. My mother was depressed, and she fought with it a great deal. She was divorced with my father, blah, blah. And a lot of the problems that ensued with my mother and my father were instilled by both of them being very insecure. Of course, I inherited that insecurity. But I noticed that my emotions wanted to gravitate a lot towards my mother's emotionality as I went into my own regime of meditation. I had to rid myself of the things that made my emotions so prominent in me, and I'll tell you how I did it. It's not a difficult thing to do. I did not bathe myself in victim. I did not bathe myself in desire, ambition, or pride. I laid low inside. I laid low in my career. I did a lot of wonderful things in my career, but I never wanted to be famous. I was infamous, but never famous. But I never wanted to elongate my life through emotionality. So I never, ever, ever suffered from depression. Not ever. And it isn't because of how great thou art. It's just that I knew when I was younger that this trait that my mother had was dangerous. And I watched her play with it, toil with it, go into victimhood. And you start building up stories around your emotionality. Women love to be victims. They do. I mean, I know I'm not saying popular things here anymore, but who cares? It's the therapy that matters here, the therapy of love that matters. And this therapy is not like a psychologist would give to you, or psychiatry, or anything like that. This is the love that is bestowed through silence. Once you realize that silence is the answer, then you understand why we do meditation to transcend. Not alter, not change, not heal, transcend. The body is going to do what the body is going to do. And Tracy, no matter what you do, your body's going to be your body. It is going to have impulses, and it's going to have feelings of depression and happiness and unhappiness, highs and lows, bipolar stuff. I've had a lot of bipolar women in my career, a lot of them. Had only two men that were bipolar, but a lot of women, and they didn't even realize it. They didn't want to realize it. They didn't want to believe it, and they go off the deep end all the time. And no matter how you show them and how you tell them you need to be on medication, they won't do it. And you know what's interesting is I read a statistic that 80% of the people who are bipolar, and there is medicine to help them with that, won't take it because they're bipolar. It's, you know, the old oxymoron thing here. What you need, you won't give yourself because you don't think you need it. But once you take it, then you see a difference. But you can't remember the difference when you need to take it, which is probably every day. And it's just a terrible cycle that people go around and around and around in. Women find that their emotionality is their persona, is their personality, and they live in it. And they'll make up stories and all sorts of things to conjugate their depression and make up ideas and alibis and stories, like I say, that make them believe that they're not at fault, that somebody else did it. So it's really hard, Tracy. It's going to be really hard. You're going to have to give up what you believe is your womanhood. And that I don't see happening with many people. And as far as the men are concerned, they have to realize they've got a problem, a real problem. And depression turns into all sorts of different things that are self-destructive. Eating is one of them. Drugs are another. Alcohol is another. I've had students do all three, and they never got off the wagon because the impulses were just too pleasuring. And that's the problem. It isn't that it's incurable. It's that the things that you think you're benefiting from through being emotional and in depression are too pleasurable. You get to blame other people. You get to drink or do drugs, or you get to do all sorts of things that aren't very healthy for you. And you get to have those highs. And the lows, well, you make people crazy, and other people, that is, and sometimes even yourself. And so there's all these things going on inside of your life that you may or may not want to think of as real, but they are. Depression is huge. Are you saying that depression can be helped? It can be dealt with through meditation, but it cannot be cured. The cure is transformation, and that's a totally different subject that most people could never get involved in. I won't even go there. I won't even talk about it, but it would take a Herculean effort, as I always like to say. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. How do you not get depressed, Greg? I can't imagine you get a tremendous amount of support, nor do you change everyone in the world. How do you not get depressed, Fred? No, I don't get a lot of support. I am anti-gravity is the way I look at it. And the people that do support this program and the things that I do are unusual human beings, and they are far and few between in this world. It is enough for me to be able to function the way I do and to help you the way I can. And I am deeply, deeply grateful for that. As far as changing the world, I'm not interested in changing the world. I was never interested in changing the world. I thought that we as a civilization would rise up and change the way we operated and live in a different way. I really did when I was younger. And then I found out that people are fixated. They are depressed. I would say much of the population, without knowing it, is in a form, some stage and form of depression. So I never thought that I was going to change the world. I was felt lucky if I got out of a building alive, you know. For a long time, I had to wear a bulletproof vest just to give a Sunday discourse. Yeah, I did. And I got death threats all the time. Terrible things happened. People would come to the center, and we would find leaflets on our cars. One poor couple, they took the tires off their car. Yeah, they came out and they had no tires, and then they had a note pinned to their car saying what we were sinners and devil worshipers and all of that. So I know what the world is. In this world, as Jesus said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will always be difficulties. How do I not get depressed? Well, I don't put obstacles in the way of me. I don't sit there and get into guilt and shame. I don't get into the idea of the futility of it all. I'm not here to aggrandize my ego. I know who I am. I know the kind of teacher I am. I know what I offer and how it works and how important it is. I don't think in terms of everyone understanding it, but everyone who is before me is within me. And I take that very seriously. And no matter who they are or who they have been in my life, I have been them. And I have learned how to help one person at a time, Fred. I take one thing at a time. I am recording this radio program at 3:20 a.m. in the morning. The reason I am doing that is because this is one of the quiet times I have, and the collective unconscious is kind of down a little bit because people are asleep just a little bit. And this is what I have to do among all the other things I have to do in this day and get this done before I have to go to the next thing and then the next thing. I do one thing at a time, and I try to do it very well. And then I leave it alone. I don't sit and analyze it. If it's not a radio program that helps you, it's not a radio program that helps you. If it's one that helps you, it's a program that helps you. But I don't look at things like, this is a good one, this was a bad one, this is a good person, this is a bad person. I just don't. And in doing that, I liberate myself. Besides, I love everybody, whether they know it or not. I'm out of here. I hope that helped you, Fred. Thank you for listening, Fred, and all of you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.